Good morning, everyone. It's great to see all of our guests, our friends who are joining us this morning. We thank you for visiting us here at the Southeast Church of Christ. And we're grateful to once again be able to assemble as the saints, to be able to sing praises to our God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to, of course, remember that precious sacrifice, along with the promises that that sacrifice has made. We are honored, brethren, to have our brother Michael Wasilowski, accompanied by Kate, from the Lakey Church of Christ in Lakey, Texas. Our brother has been great with us. He has honored us with his presence, and as those of you who were in the Bible study this morning heard, he is truly a man who loves studying and sharing the Word of God. We're truly honored with our brother. As I've already mentioned, he is a graduate of the Southwest School of Bible Studies, and he has been at Lakey, Texas for a little over a year, I believe. Our brother is a man of God who truly loves studying the Word of God, and thus, without taking more of his time, preach the Word, brother.
Good morning. And it is wonderful to be here. Again, I can't express the amount of gratitude that my wife and I feel for being allowed just to be able to come here in the first place. But also, I will say this. You guys have a special man in your midst, our brother Obed here. He is a good man. I don't know how he does it by himself, because I'll tell you what, I could not do this job by myself without my wife. She helps me keep my head on straight. So I don't know how he does it by himself, but I will say that is a good quality, my friend. Alrighty, as you can clearly see from the title that is up on the screen, this world is not my home, but also we're really talking about citizenship. So I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and that's really where we're going to be for basically the entire lesson. Philippians chapter 3, verses really 1 to 21. Now, I want you to listen very closely to this statement. I pledge allegiance to Christ and His kingdom. I pledge allegiance to Christ and His kingdom under one God. Now, how important was it to be a Roman citizen? Especially during the time period of Paul and the apostles and Christ, how important was it really to be a Roman citizen? This was never more true than to even the Philippians when you ask that question. Besides maybe Rome, there was no other city who was more patriotic and proud to be a Roman during the time of their empire. See, the city was a Roman colony, and it was made up entirely of Roman veterans, soldiers, politicians, civil servants, along with their families. That was really the main colony of Philippi. This was land given to them by Rome, even, for their service in serving the empire, whether by fighting and killing for it, or by arguing in the Senate hall, or by spreading propaganda and furthering Roman culture and control throughout the known world. This morning, though, we're going to be looking at what it really means to truly be a citizen of the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, the church, by noticing our citizenship by covenant, our citizenship to inheritance, and our citizenship for obedience. Covenant, inheritance, obedience. Our covenant citizenship. And really, that's verses 3 to 8 of Philippians chapter 3. But let's get into the context, right? Starting with chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Now, as always, we need to define our terms, right? Because we are talking about citizenship. So as to better understand what we mean. The word citizen or citizenship stands to mean a native or naturalized member of a state or nation who owes allegiance to its government and is entitled to it and its protection, as well as it is the state of being vested with rights, privileges, and duties of a citizen. Therefore, when discussing citizenship and being a citizen, we are stating that an individual is either a native or naturalized into and owes that society their loyalty, while at the same time that society owes them protection and provision. Now, when talking about one being a citizen, there are things which must be true, right? And that is, they would need to have a country or a nation in which they belong to. You can't be a citizen if the country doesn't exist, right? And this is where, with the thought from verse 3, fits in. When we read the phrase in verse 3, "For we are the circumcision," Paul in this context is contrasting those who are of heavenly citizenship and those who are of not. Verse 2, right? "Beware them, the dogs, them of the mutilation," all of that. "For, because we are of the circumcision." It's also a contrast there. However, as always, there is a deeper meaning behind it, because with this word circumcision, Paul has shown how one becomes a citizen as well as identifies that nation as well. How one becomes a citizen, but even identifying the nation. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Colossians 2, 11 and 12. Watch what he says. And here's our identifier of really who he's talking to when he says the word "we are of the circumcision." "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." Therein we read now how one becomes circumcised by baptism, and we know that even baptism is the way in which one becomes a Christian, right? According to the book of Acts. With that being the point of the book of Acts from a theological standpoint, how to become a Christian. However, also baptism is the way in which one joins the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. I know most of you know these verses. And not only this, but when we read about who Peter is talking to in the first chapter of 1 Peter, being Christians, and then in the second chapter making this great statement in chapter 2, verse 9, if you really want to read it, chapter 2, verse 9 of 1 Peter, watch what he says. Because he's talking to Christians, right? "But you, Christians, who have been baptized," who have been circumcised by baptism, "who were put into the church, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Which is to say then that when Paul speaks to the Philippians of being of the circumcision, he's calling them Christians and showing how they became citizens of the church, the body of Christ, and the kingdom of God, Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 to 19. Now, why would he say that? If we're really going to talk about citizenship, why would he need to identify who is a citizen and not a citizen? Now, we know that the word circumcision again means to cut off or to separate or to let die, right? Well, from this point forward, what we get is a list of things Paul cut off from himself as part of this circumcision, which is to be made a citizen, not a Christian, but yes, a Christian, of the church. He is doing this still as a contrast between those who are and those who aren't, wherein he lists how he was a Jew from birth, of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the best Hebrew of Hebrews, in complete obedience to the law, you can walk down the list, right? A Pharisee, zealous in all points of his life to the point of even persecuting the church, and blameless by all accounts of the law. Philippians 3, 4, 5, 6, and then if you wanted to go to 7. Have no confidence in the flesh. Why? Because it was cut off. Think about this though. Paul had all of these things, these great things going for him, and that he was really considered the best of the best, but those things were as dung or as rubbish to him in comparison to Christ, so much so that he cut himself off from them by becoming a Christian. Now let's put this in context of whom he's writing to, and even in ourselves, in that these Philippians were the most zealous and proud of their heritage as Romans, right? After all, to the point that they were willing to fight and almost, if they had to die for their nation. That's who the Philippians were. They argued in the Senate halls. They were all of these great things. They served their nation as the best citizens they could be, but they gave that all up when they became Christians and joined the kingdom of God, the church, through baptism. For what purpose, though? What did they really give up? Everything. To be something else. For what purpose, though? Why would Paul give it all up? Why would the Philippians give it all up? And did we, as Christians today, give it all up? Did we? This is what leads us to the next point, in what was gained by cutting ourselves off from those things, our saved citizenship. So we have our covenant citizenship, right? Circumcision, the sign of the promise. But now we have the saved citizenship. What came about by it? He gave it all up. They gave it all up. For as to gain and attain Christ and his resurrection, verses 9 to 14, if you want to read it with me. Verses 9 to 14. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, they cut themselves off of those things they once were based on. Those nationalities, languages, culture, skin color, and any other dividing things, so as to gain that which is promised to those who are apart and set apart into the kingdom. This is also Paul could know Christ and the power of his resurrection, right? To have fellowship with his sufferings, allowing himself to be conformed to the death of Christ so as to attain that resurrection. You realize what he's contrasting here? You who were once the most patriotic of your nation, you've left that nation for this nation, so now what should you be? The most patriotic for this nation. That's really what he's saying. It was, again, also he could know, experience, which, because if you want to understand the word know, if it was a deeper understanding, one who has experienced, and or one who has witnessed, one who has fully felt and seen. Paul wants to fully experience and understand Christ and his resurrection from the dead to never die again. Salvation. He wants to understand and fully experience the sufferings of Christ because of the word fellowship, which means participate. Lastly, he wants to be fully conformed or allow himself to be fully obedient to his death, Christ's death. That is, one who dies in a world that is not their own, a sojourner and a traveler, all for the purpose of attaining that resurrection to which we all strive towards the goal, salvation. This is what Paul is talking about from verses 12 and forward. He is a citizen with a goal. a true patriot in every sense of the word of Christ. And he then is turning it now on the Philippians, right? And by them, by his writing to us. Are you and I a true patriot? Can't be a true patriot if you're not a true citizen first, though. You see, Paul has not already attained this resurrection because he has not yet died, just as we also have not yet attained that resurrection because we have not already died, in the sense of physically. But that is why Paul presses on, which is the idea of the marathon runner, right? Who is only at the halfway point and continues with his head down sometimes to push themselves to finish and win the race. This is so he may lay hold of, or to white knuckle, to grip it to the point that there is no way to let go. To white knuckle that resurrection, that salvation. Again, which is the same thing of which Christ has also gripped him with. Again, another resurrection, or another reference to salvation by resurrection. But because Paul has not apprehended or attained that resurrection, he will do this. Forgetting those things which are behind him, those things which weighed and held on to him, those things which would show him or slow him down from running the race. Well, what things are those? What are the things that would slow and hold down Paul? And the more I thought about this, the very first answer that came to me was sin. Automatically, just sin. But that's not what he's talking about in the context. Because let me ask you this. If you and I who have been baptized have been purged from sin, remissed from sins, redeemed by the blood of our Jesus Christ, how can they which are no longer on us hold us down? So what things would hold us back from really being a full runner of the race? It's the things he just mentioned in the previous section. Those things of his past that he referenced earlier in the chapter. You see, this all goes right back to how he became a citizen by being baptized, in that it did not and does more than just separate one from their past sins, but all those things which ties us to the world, our nationalities, our culture, our languages, all of it have been cut off. Why? Because they simply hold us down and back from running the race in a full steam ahead. He is ever reaching forward to that which is ahead, salvation by resurrection, and leaving behind those things of the past, not just sin. So now let's take it back, right? Let's think about this for the Philippians. Why do you suppose those things would hold him back, or hold them back? Let me ask you this. As a true patriot, what are you most concerned about? What goes on in your nation? So if you and I, say, were Philippians, or living in the colony of Philippi, we were really Romans, and we were true patriots, what are we most concerned with and most focused on? And why would that hold you back? Now let's take it into our day as Americans. Why would that hold us back? Because where's our goal? Is our goal really heaven? Or is our goal heaven on earth, America? Amen. See, this world is not my home. Citizenship. It is this goal that is in Christ Jesus, or in being a citizen, a Christian in the kingdom, the body of Christ, the church originating from Christ, Romans 16:16, church of Christ, that word of there means to originate from, belonging to. We have seen how one becomes a citizen of the kingdom and what that truly means to be a citizen, as well as why it is worth it, because there's salvation. But now we must ask the question of what we are supposed to do based off of that doctrine and teaching, which is the very answer of our next point. Our obedient citizenship. Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 to the end of the chapter, and even into verse 1 of chapter 4, if you want to read that with me. Because that's when he gets to the meat of the matter. Therefore, let us, As many as are mature have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Why? For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. When we read the next verse, we will read the word therefore, right? Which is a tie back to everything which came before it. It gives off the idea of, because of all of this information from chapter 3, here's what you do now with it. Paul says, let us who are mature have the same mind or the same mindset as Paul did. And for those who are not as mature, let us all together walk by the same rule and be unified in the same mind. Let us work to achieving that maturity. Grow, is what he's saying. That is to say, let us think on the same things, specifically of those things in which we have attained, that being our citizenship. Let us focus our minds on the goal. So how are we to do this? This is done by following Paul's example or the pattern he has laid out for them, and not those who walk not according to the circumcision. See, this is still in contrast to those who are not citizens. If you were to read it again, verses 18 and 19, right? For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They are the enemy of the nation. How would you suppose that would affect the mindset of a patriot? A true patriot. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. Where's their focus? Who set their mind on earthly things. Paul is calling the Philippians to give up their Roman citizenship and place for the true citizenship of Christ. Now, listen to this though. He is not saying it is wrong to be a Roman citizen. He's not saying it's wrong to be an American citizen. However, it's not the goal. However, it's not the focus. Our citizenship here, wherever we live, regardless if it's America, regardless of any other nation it could be on this planet, should never, ever supersede that which is true. Right? You see, many Christians today are too quick to place the flag or the Constitution above the church, so overly concerned with America that they lose sight of the goal that is truly ahead of them. They lose sight of the kingdom in which they have been made a part of and forget they had been cut off of those things such as nationalities, cultures, politics, sin, and everything else that comes with living in this world.
Amen.
We cannot let that supersede Christ. Now, when dealing with our enemies, what did Paul show? Even weeping. When we deal with our enemies, it should hurt because of who they are and what they've become and where they're going. And we should do everything in our power, right? For what is it that Paul says to the young Timothy? For it is his desire, God's desire, that all may be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So even with these individuals, we need to consider them and be there for them to the best of our ability. And try to win them over from being our enemy to being our brother and our friend. Again, there's nothing wrong with being an American or a Texan of any nationality in this life, but it cannot be the reason for why you live. I started this lesson by stating I pledge allegiance to Christ and His kingdom, one nation under God. Because we are Christians, and that is really what we are stating when we confess His name before baptism. And by being baptized, we are cutting ourselves off from all those things of the past to be joined with that thing of the present and future, the church, and salvation by resurrection. It is when we truly get to the key verses of this chapter, which is verse 20 and 21 and verse 1 of chapter 4. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Therefore, because of that, my beloved and longed after brethren, in which I personally take a stake in that with all of you, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. This morning we took a look at what it truly means to be made a citizen of the kingdom of Christ, that is His body, the church of Christ. We saw our covenant citizenship that came about by baptism, in that it cut us off from those things of the past, and that by meeting the requirement of obedience, we were made citizens of the church, which is the kingdom of heaven and the body of Christ. We then saw the true implications of what it means to be a citizen of the church by seeing those things which we have been cut off from, our individual nationalities, cultures, societies, laws, sins, and everything else which ties us to this world. Those things which would halt us and slow us down from the goal. And how we have a saved citizenship from those things because we gain that as Christians. That being the resurrection from the dead, salvation. And who wouldn't want that, right? Lastly, we saw how this is to be done as an obedient citizenship. By following the pattern that is laid out for us because of the fact that we are citizens of the church. Therefore, again, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my beloved. Philippians 4:1. That is to say, now is the time to give up those things if you are not yet done so, that we might still cling to those nationalities, those politics, those anything else. Those things which hold us back from the goal in finishing our race. And now being of the same mind, pushing ever closer to the goal by putting in the work, living according to the doctrine of Christ, that is the word of God, through benevolence, evangelism, and edification. Use your good works to evangelize, and use your evangelism to teach, and then use edification to build up that which needs to be taught. Build up. Now, as for those who are not yet citizens, though, the way is rather clear according to Scripture. So now is the time to choose if you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you believe, now is the time to repent. Confess Him as the Son of God and as King of Kings. And now is the time to be baptized for the remission of sins and the cutting off of the old man so as to obtain that resurrection from the dead by becoming citizens of the kingdom of God into a family that will love you and cherish you for the end of days and beyond. The body of Christ, that being the church. So if there is anyone here that struggles with these, or is anyone here who wishes to obey the gospel of Christ, all I ask is that you come forward now as we stand and sing.